Kicking off hour number three of the program, and this segment is brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. Check out their area locations, 7 in and around Knoxville, and then in the Carolinas, Chattanooga as well. So if you're down there in the Chattanooga area, check out the Gold's Gym there. You'll be supporting one of our sponsors here, the official gym of Three and Out. Go to goldsgym.com for all the details.
Yeah, just as a member of Gold's Gym, you'll enjoy access to the best coaches, personal trainers, and group exercise instructors in the business. That means access to motivating and knowledgeable experts dedicated to your success. Whatever your goal or experience level, the wide range of fitness classes and offerings that Gold's can offer you can help you reach your goals. And you'll enjoy a supportive community of members who share the same aspirations as you do.
Gold's Goals, we'll call them.
Gold's Goals.
The Gold's Goals.
The Gold's Goals.
You can find out more information by going to goldsgym.com. And as always, if you want to check it out, you can download a free three-day VIP pass.
VIP pass.
Bum, bum, bum.
Free. Did we mention free?
Twice.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
So, goldsgym.com.
Check it out.
You know, before I learned more about Gold's Gym, it was always the, you know, they have kind of the hard, like, big powerlifting kind of theme, you know, but really they've changed that up a lot over recent years, and now they're there for you no matter what your goals are.
It's all about fitness.
Gold's Gym. All about fitness, keeping you healthy, and, you know, Davey has kind of changed his life as the 12-week challenge winner from a couple of years ago. And it all happened at Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. Houston, you did it. I just want to congratulate you right now, right off the top here. Hour number three, you have gotten Grant Gunnell to decommit from Texas A&M. We did our strongest segment of the week yesterday, brought to you by Gold's Gym. We went down the list of quarterback targets for Jeremy Pruitt and his staff in 2019. Grant Gunnell has now said, you know what? I love Three and Out. I'm from Houston.
Woo!
I think I'm going to go ahead and back away from my Texas A&M commitment.
Yes. Yes. So he was the one from Houston, huh?
Yo, if you know what I mean.
After much consideration and discussion with my family,
God, yeah,
I feel that I may have committed to Texas A&M a little early.
A little premature.
With the coaching transition, along with other factors, I feel it is in my best interest to reopen my recruitment. While Texas A&M is still very much in play, I feel this is the best decision to make at the moment. Thank you. And God bless Houston. I mean, just God bless.
Oh, baby, that feels good. Yes.
Gunnell only threw for 5,000 yards and 61 touchdowns during his junior season.
5,000? And how many touchdowns?
61.
61? What? That's one season?
That was his junior season.
God. 61 touchdowns.
You want to hear his career numbers?
Yeah. Holy.
Toledo.
Holy. I need a Texas city. Holy.
San Antonio.
Holy Alfredo. Nope, that's not. That's
Odessa.
That's food.
Holy Odessa, Texas. Good God. Holy peaches and cinnamon. Mercy sakes alive. 60 touchdowns.
During his high school
Caleb
career,
Crawdad.
He's thrown for over 11,000 yards and 142 touchdowns.
Go get that man, Jeremy. Jeremy Pruitt. We have struck oil down in Odessa. Where's he from in Texas? Oh, yeah. Houston.
He's from Houston.
Good. 61 touchdowns as a junior in 5K?
He was committed to Kevin Sumlin. Now that Jimbo Fisher's in, he's saying, man, maybe I'll reconsider.
He's saying, next!
Next! What's his name?
Grant Gunnell. Two N's, two L's.
Grant Gunnell. All right, now I'm getting interested. I wasn't interested. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be interested, but now I'm starting to get interested now that he's interested.
There's only one little piece of bad news.
Shh, shh, shh. Just give me a second.
Okay.
Just give me a second. 4-star.
Oh, man, he's 6'6", 212. Oh, man, alive, he is a giant. Nate?
Yeah?
Oh, look at these offers. Look at these recent offers. Ohio State.
That was the bad news.
Cal.
Ohio State offered on Tuesday. He decommits on Tuesday.
You know, no, we offered him in May of last year. That's fine. I'm in. I am in on Grant Gunnell because this guy's going to lead Tennessee to the promised land. He's a giant. He's a big guy. Number two pro-ranked quarterback, seventh best player in the state of Texas, 49th best player in the country. And, I mean, you don't throw 61 touchdowns without having a whip. Not in the state of Texas, you don't. This is my guy. I'm all in. I'm committing myself to Grant Gunnell. Grant, if you are listening, please, pal, listen here. We didn't take a quarterback that was ranked very high this year because we had our eyes on you.
Start like an online social media trend funnel for Gunnell, and you just funnel beers.
Funnel for Gunnell.
Funnel for Gunnell to the Vols.
Like money, or just like we all drink a bit, like a recruiting, like the challenges.
Yeah.
Like instead of the ice water challenge, we do the funnel for Gunnell challenge.
Yeah, that's
it's how
be.
You get recruits, guys. You want to get a recruit? Don't tweet at him. You tweet for him, if you know what I mean. Yeah, funnel for Gunnell. Boom.
Apparently he's going to visit LSU this weekend with some other teams and stuff.
LSU can't get good quarterbacks.
Laredo. That was the one I was thinking of. Thanks, Cub. I said Alfredo. I meant Laredo.
You did say Alfredo.
Thanks to Cub Hansen. Nailed it. Grant Gunnell. I am in. I'm in.
I don't know if Tennessee's in it at all.
But we will be.
Because we're going to funnel for Gunnell.
Funnel for Gunnell starts today. Right as I get off the air, I'm cracking a cold one open with the boys, and we're funneling for Gunnell one. Funnel one for Gunnell one.
He has offers from everyone.
Yep, but he could start right away here. Come on.
Oh, no.
What?
24/7 still lists is recruited by his Mike Canales.
Well, he was never coming here then. At least now, Tyson, who was recruiting him for USC? Who is recruiting him?
Oh, see that now you're
find
now
USC
you're
on that list. You're not scrolling at all.
They didn't offer.
What?
It's alphabetical.
What? No, they're under S.
They're not on here at all. Tyson Elton. Yeah, that's good though. That means he has a blank slate here. Now that Gunnell has been soured by the Texas A&M recruiting process, Tennessee can ride in and say, "Hey, come be." The guy that brings us back.
Yes.
Actually, I hope
Gunnell,
he's on the way back.
I keep wanting to call him Gunnell Keel. The other guy that played in college for 100 years. 61 touchdowns as a junior. That's got to be some kind of state record in Texas. That's 6 a game in high school. Good God.
142.
Did he ever sit out? Did he ever come out of the game?
Good point. I don't know.
It's like, coach, we're up by 100. Don't care. This kid's going to Tennessee, and we want to put fear into the hearts of the world. Let him throw for infinity yards. Coach, what's the lead need to be for us to take out Gunnell?
142.
He just doesn't say anything because there is no answer. What's his name?
What? Grant Gunnell?
Grant.
Yeah.
Big, I love guys named Grant. At Tennessee.
That's the
big
key,
fan of guys named Grant at Tennessee. Grant Williams. Deion Grant. Anthony Grant. Dang it. Dang it. Dang it. Grant. I don't know another one. But those two were good. Deion Grant. Grant Williams. Right? I mean, those are two pretty good Grants.
Yeah, those are really good.
Grant. I don't know another. Those two, you're two for two when you think about it. Tennessee players named Grant are two for two. So that's why you got to go get this guy and let him throw. I mean, what if he throws for 61 touchdowns here? I mean, think he'd be a hero.
He'd be pretty big.
He could be the next Peyton if you go ahead and get him. I'm excited for this guy to get to Tennessee. Is he an early enrollee? What other information do we have on this cat? Let's see here. He is apparently not an early enrollee, at least not yet.
He can still change his mind. It's early on.
The VIP evaluation on 24/7. I'll give you the first half sentence. Gunnell is a quarterback with the plus size that college coaches covet and with the frame potential. Man, I'm not a member, so that's all I got. Sorry. Who knows?
It's probably 24/7.
It's probably great. The frame potential to be a Heisman winner.
Fill in the blank, yeah.
Player background, 2017, he was a second-team Max Preps junior All-American. Earned a first-team All-State honors in Texas. Pretty good. In 2016, he was a first-team Max Preps sophomore All-American and was a first-team All-State selection. In 2015, he was a Max Prep second-team freshman All-American. This guy, he's an All-American. I don't know what else to say about him. He is an All-American. There was an article written about him today by Shea Dixon of 24/7 Sports. Says he's visiting LSU soon.
Yeah, that's what I said earlier.
Gunnell and a handful of his 7-on-7 teammates will stop into LSU on their way to a weekend tournament in New Orleans right around Mardi Gras. Be careful, kids. Please be careful. The nation's number 2 quarterback prospect and highest-ranked uncommitted quarterback in the 2019 class visited LSU last month for Junior Day, where he joined St. Pius ex-teammate Jalen Curry and IMG Academy running back Noah Kane. IMG Academy, formerly coached by Chris Winkie. Guys, running back, IMG Academy, Noah Kane, Chris Winkie, Tennessee, Grant Gunnell. It's a funnel for Gunnell, okay? On an overnight stay in Baton Rouge, Gunnell's one of the most heavily recruited prospects in the 2019 class, and with his process back open again, LSU, Arkansas, and TCU are some teams beginning to build momentum this offseason.
Just watching some of this guy's tape, and I hate to kill the buzz, but do you know where he would be fantastic at?
What are you doing?
The NFL?
Oklahoma State. Mike Gundy with this
what?
Kid.
Shut up.
Davey.
I hate to do it, but I mean,
it's like an open wound.
Shut up.
Mike Gundy was in the airport and everything.
I'm sorry, but this kid, if he goes to Oklahoma State, he'll be a number 1 overall pick.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
That's
okay.
So random.
Yeah, because that worked so well for old Tannehill.
He went to A&M.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he transfer or something, though? Who am I thinking of?
Kenny Hill?
No, who was the Oklahoma State quarterback that got to the NFL?
Brandon Wheaton.
Yeah, the red, the deep, old guy.
Yeah.
He's like 26 when he went to the draft.
Yeah, how did that work out? Look at Sam Darnold.
He's made good money.
Grant Gunnell, look at Sam Darnold. Who was his quarterback's coach? Boom. Say no more, fam. Grant Gunnell to Tennessee.
You know, we were looking at our digital numbers a couple weeks ago, and there was a weird anomaly. Remember how Houston was way up in the city list? Grant Gunnell.
He might be streaming the show right now.
Yep.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Cub Hansen has given me the behind-the-wall evaluation of Grant Gunnell. Shouts out to the thievery by Cub Hansen. Don't know his real name, and neither do you, so you can't track him down. Take that, Shannon Terry. Gunnell is a quarterback with a plus size that college coaches covet. I read that already. And the frame, potential, and skill sets of a potential. It's a lot of potentials in there. NFL draft pick one day with the right college development. He is very accurate. Oh! Love it when they're accurate. And has put up some very big numbers early on in his prep career. He is just going to continue to get better and better. A little Butch Jones-ish right there. Better and better. As he develops more strength and muscle, because they do not coincide. They are built separately. He has a huge upside, but right now he's an accurate passer with precision. People will sleep on his athleticism, per Greg Powers, 24/7 Sports.
Okay. Wow.
Recruiting is going to be a whole lot more fun now. Because I feel like even if Butch Jones signed a top class, it's like, yeah, he'll screw that up. Houston's excited. We'll come back. Hit a quick break.
Deion Grant Gunnell. Grant Gunnell Williams.
They say we're just a bunch of shock jock, frat boy, millennial media spreading fake news out of the deepest, darkest pit of AM radio. You've said we're Fox Sports Knoxville, voice of the fans, no strings attached, truth tellers, and chain breakers. We even have the screenshots to prove it. Fox Sports Knoxville.
A leaping elk crash in Utah has left two injured. Salt Lake City. An elk leaped into a research helicopter that was trying to capture it and brought down the helicopter in a collision that unfortunately killed the elk, authorities said. The elk jumped into the chopper's tail rotor as the aircraft flew about 10 feet above the ground in a mountainous part of eastern Utah, with its crew trying to drop a net on the elk, said Jared Rigby of the Wasatch County Sheriff's Office. The two people on board were not seriously hurt, but the elk died of its injuries Monday afternoon, again, after jumping into the tail rotor of the aircraft. The state contracted Texas-based crew, perhaps out of Houston, was trying to capture and sedate the elk and give it a tracking collar to research its movement in the area about 90 miles east of Salt Lake City. Instead, they cut its head off when it jumped up into the rear end of the copter. I added that part to the paragraph. Helicopters are frequently used as an essential tool for monitoring remote wildlife in Utah, said Mark Hadley with the State Division of Wildlife Resources. The tracking collars help wildlife officials monitor elk migration paths and survival rates. Survival rates took a hit this week. The state captures about 1,300 animals each winter, almost all using helicopters. And Tuesday's downing of the helicopter was the first accident of its kind, he said. The crew had launched This is the Associated Press. They can't even write. The crew had launched a net it catch the animal. But when that didn't immediately work, the pilot started to slow down so someone could jump out and hobble the elk. As the helicopter slowed down, the elk collided with the tail rotor. And oh my God, the horror. The helicopter was damaged on the tail rotor, right skid, and underside, Rigsby said. State officials will review the incident that appears to have been a fluke accident. Environmental groups have protested the use of helicopters to monitor wildlife. The group Wilderness Watch is objecting to a plan to study mountain goats using helicopters in central Utah wilderness areas, calling the aircraft, quote, unnecessary intrusion into some of our most treasured lands, according to the Desert News. This story has been corrected to show that the helicopter crew was based in Texas and not Australia. This is your AP News report. Houston Kress, Fox Sports, Knoxville.
That was excellent.
What's funny is the title is Leaping Elk Crashes Low-Flying Research Helicopter in Utah.
Yeah, that's not exactly how
it worked.
No, it wasn't like this helicopter.
Idiot crew nets elk. Elk pissed off, jumps up, and kills himself while taking down the copter. That is the ultimate kamikaze elk. Man, that's a rough.
He was just trying to go about his business.
That's rough, man. That's a rough day. Just walking around a field,
yep.
And then a helicopter comes down, someone throws a net on you, you're like, well, I don't like this, let me see if I can jump out of it. Yikes. Poor guy.
Or gal. They're trying to study survival rates by killing the elk on accident.
Well,
and damaging helicopters.
I mean,
how much do these helicopters cost? I mean, this is... Seems like a lot of money just to track where these animals are going to be.
Binoculars are fine, I think. didn't they have like the little tracking
some cameras?
Don't they have like the gun GPS shooters where you just shoot them in the back and it kind of sticks into them like a needle?
Yeah.
Like you know how they tag sharks? They just stick them with the prod. Could they not? I mean, could you imagine being on this helicopter? I picture like one of these movies with it's a group of guys from Texas like, yeah, we're gonna go tag some elk, and he jumps into the tail rotor. First of all, that had to be very graphic. I mean, that had to be just a big old mess.
I'm thinking of like Die Hard 2,
yeah,
where the guy goes into the plane.
Or Indiana Jones,
yeah,
when he's
yeah
sitting there fighting the big German dude, and he's just like, ah, and then he covers himself, and
mm-hmm,
that's a rough day. Man, imagine being that elk, just out, just sure walking around.
Just minding your own business.
Mining, just eating
walking
some
around,
eating some
looking around
grass, probably having some water, and then here comes this low-flying copter. Just trying
throws
to,
a net on you.
Just trying to get away from it, jump right into the tail rotor there. Maybe
so they can
of that
get helicopters to catch elk with nets, and
yeah
we can't get a jumbotron crane.
Well,
at the University of
in
Tennessee.
In fairness, it looked like yesterday they might be trying, but that could have been it could have been an old picture. It was hard for me to tell.
A little more like a cleaning crew too than a installation.
How
and
that
demo
would be
squad.
That would be very fitting if they were cleaning the Butch Jones picture and not, you know,
taking it down.
Yeah, not take. Like, yeah, but until we take it down, we want it to look good for the recruits or something. Mm-hmm.
Didn't Beverly Davenport say they ordered it?
No, she said it's on the way, which means not only have they ordered it, but it's then coming to.
At what point do we
school
just call her a liar?
Man, I don't know. At this point, it's kind of a joke, so that's good.
On January the 2nd, she said it had been ordered.
It was a month then, 2 weeks ago-ish. Pretty good.
I was so excited walking back to my car because I thought, hey, because I parked at G10 yesterday when I went to class, and so I was like, all right, I'm going to get to see the picture of Butch finally taken down.
Nope.
I had it already. I was just going to send out a tweet of the picture and just put the caption, they should have sent a poet, but I didn't get to do that, and I feel robbed, like the rest of All Nation, that we still have to look at that every time we drive down Volunteer.
Well, here's some good news, guys. Grant Gunnell's 4,936 yards and 61 touchdowns as a junior.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a dip in production from his sophomore season. Shouts out to JT Dirty Birdie for this delicious nugget. As a sophomore, Grant Gunnell of Houston, Texas, threw for 4,973 yards and 65 touchdowns.
Touchdowns?
Oh, yeah. That's a wad of them. Man, you stumble onto 65 touchdowns, you have found the honey hole.
How many touchdowns did their running backs rush for? Like,
I don't
how many
know
points does this team score?
Yeah, is he throwing like 60 passes a game? Like, I got some questions. Golly.
They're running the pop pass on the goal line, so he gets an extra.
I mean, 65 touchdowns. Would that be like an all-time record at Tennessee? Like career?
In a season, yes.
No,
oh,
career.
Peyton has more than that.
Yeah, I think Casey does, too. I can't remember how many. I want to say it's like maybe in the 70s or 80s.
I think it's 77.
You're just guessing. You're just guessing.
I'm trying to think back of the statistics
you're just
in NCAA
guessing, you're
college
just guessing
football
numbers. You're just guessing numbers.
Yep.
I'll find out.
January 2nd. She said, please hang on. A crane has been ordered. Did they, like, order it for March? I mean, ordered, I guess technically
I mean,
that's
you,
not
you,
a lie.
I don't know how they set it up, but you might have to wait for warmer weather. You know, solid weather. Not rain, not wind. You might need a couple sunny days or something.
Did you see?
I'm just guessing. I don't know though.
Did you see Rainey went and got into a chat conversation with a crane crew?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that wrapped up, but
I don't either.
He was trying to just go ahead and make it a fan run thing. Hey, we'll just
do it ourselves.
Do it ourselves.
Just keep sending it to Beverly's desk. Hopefully, eventually she gets it. A couple of quick notes before we hit the break. According to Cole Kublik of SEC Network, he believes that of all the new staffs in the SEC this year, that Jeremy Pruitt's is the best. So he likes it more than Jimbo's at A&M. He likes it more than Mullins at Florida. Who else is there? Does Matt Luke's count? Surely he likes it. He likes it more than Matt Luke's. I mean, come on, it's Matt Luke. Old watermelon head. Old melon head.
Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
Chad
Morris, who so far has gotten the lowest grade of all the.
This is true. But he did have the best signing day drop in. don't know if you saw that.
I thought it was very Butch Jones.
Oh,
it was a gimmick.
Very much so.
It was a gimmick. And I think Arkansas made a very huge mistake. Probably should have just kept Bielema for another year, if that's the best you can do. It's just, you could do a lot worse than Bielema, and I think they might have done it. Just a guess. We'll see.
Peyton had 89 touchdowns passing.
89. Grant Gunnell.
See if you can top it, Grant. Let's go. Let's ride.
Grant, be the next pick. No, be the first Grant Gunnell. We could rename the tunnel the Gunnell Tunnel. Okay? We funnel for Gunnell, and then we give him the tunnel. You know, like the team runs out the tunnel.
Yeah.
That could be the Gunnell Tunnel.
I think everybody got it.
I like it. I'll give you credit. Yeah, it's...
No, you have the Peyton Manning locker room. You run out of the Peyton Manning locker room and through...
The Gunnell Tunnel.
The Gunnell Tunnel.
Boom. Make it happen, Grant. Make it happen.
Please. Please, Grant.
There was something going on.
Happy Valentine's Day. Obligatory...
I guess.
...statement.
Yeah.
Hour 3 version. No, don't forget... Or do, I guess. Well, speaking of...
drink to celebrate or drink to forget, I said.
One or the other. It's kind of in a breakup edition of Valentine's program today with Gillespie, Pruitt...
Gunnell.
Welton. Yep, Gunnell decommits. Houston and his confidence in this basketball team to win big games. Lots of breaking up. In a more... serious matter. There's more on the Michigan State situation. First of all, though, how about some good news with the Michigan State thing? Randy Margraves is the guy that tried to attack Larry Nassar in court.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pleased to announce that he will not be charged.
Good.
For that.
Good.
So that's all good news on that front. And then also in the Michigan State thing, the Board of Trustees had decided that they would hire as the school's interim president John Engler. He's a former Michigan governor. He replaced Luanna Simon, that dirtbag, 2 weeks ago. Well, the faculty at Michigan State is not happy. They called for a vote. They took it, and 61 faculty members to 4 expressed a vote of no confidence in the university's Board of Trustees Tuesday afternoon.
Wow.
The faculty does not have the power to force trustees from their position. They are elected by the public for 8-year terms, but members of the school's faculty felt it was important to let the trustees know that a major part of their campus community does not approve of recent decisions they have made.
Wait, so what happens now?
I guess the vote could put pressure on the board to do things differently. I did see on a news.
So, but nothing's coming of this vote. This is just a, hey, we don't like you, essentially.
Right. It tells the public
uh-huh.
who votes for the trustees that the faculty members at the university don't mm-hmm. approve of who they've elected, and it also tells the Board of Trustees that the faculty doesn't approve of the way they're doing their job. Which I would think could be a pretty big issue. I mean, if Tom Izzo starts telling people to not vote for certain Board of Trustees, like, that would matter, right?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Like, if Philip Fulmer told...
Was actively campaigning,
against a trustee member, like, they're going to be out. And I'm not sure...
How do you force someone off the board if you're Michigan State?
I don't think you can unless it's into the criminal.
Isn't that kind of a problem with these positions? Is that once you're there, oh, sorry, there's just no way. Like, it's amazing to me how people kind of barricade themselves into certain positions like this. It's the way it's done at higher levels of, really, academic institutions across the country. Like Jimmy Cheek, yeah, I'll be the chancellor. But the second I'm not the chancellor, I'm going to be paid the exact same amount of money for doing less work, and I get 3 months vacation in the summer.
I don't know if there's a way they could do a recall.
I mean, it's just a, like, oh, no, sorry. There's, can you impeach the board? Can we do that?
Nah, that's a good
Michigan
question.
State? Can someone just start a movement up in East Lansing and say, hey, maybe all y'all just need to get. They've got, because
I mean, the
Simon,
public support's there.
Clearly.
Like,
clearly.
If you wanted to, I mean, maybe if you raise enough hell to where there's enough public backlash to where you just force them to resign, I mean, I don't know what other routes you possibly could take. I mean,
no
enough
idea.
People hate you. And within your own community, you would think it would probably be best if you truly are a representative of that community,
right,
to step down.
Yeah, step down, and then if you're interested in helping, which you should be, maybe you offer your support and help, but realize that maybe it's just time for new people to be in this position because you have failed the institution that you're on the board to serve.
And it might not be some of these people's fault that this happened, but you're going to be stuck with that look forever, so there's nothing you can really do about it. It's probably best just to save face and walk yourself out the door.
It's kind of like what we've seen at Tennessee, right? I mean, the board is supposed to appoint, you know, the chancellor, the president, and the athletic director. Like, the board is supposed to be involved in all of this stuff, and it continuously gets ruined, and no one has to really serve any type of accountability other than, you know, John Curry, who they fired. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, like, how many times do you get to fail as a board of trustees before, you know, you're told to take a hike? It just seems like, you know, again, they kind of barricade themselves into these positions, and then after that, they serve no accountability whatsoever.
Engler, this new interim president, sent a letter to the entire Michigan State campus community yesterday to provide an update on the ways in which the university is cooperating with several different ongoing investigations. This is the Michigan Attorney General's Office, the Department of Education, both chambers of the U.S. Congress, and the NCAA are among groups currently investigating Michigan State's response to Nassar and the sexual assault complaints in general. Engler also, and like, this is the tone-deaf stupidity, I feel like, of Michigan State the entire time, called the investigative report from ESPN's Outside the Lines a sensationalized package of reporting. Like, what? Like, you obviously have an issue here. You obviously have blown it as a university. And whoever you're going to blame and all that kind of stuff can be figured out later. But why do you even take a moment at all to go out and try and basically criticize anyone or anything else?
Deflect, 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 deny, deny, deny. It's what people have done in positions of power since the beginning of time. You just never, ever admit fault, because the moment you do, people will jump on you and seize. You just defend to the bitter end. It's why Bruce didn't get to keep his job here, because he finally told the truth once he got caught. If he had just kept lying like North Carolina did, nothing would have happened. What happened to Notre Dame? They tattled on themselves for throwing a fake school. What did the NCAA do yesterday? You just forfeited two seasons worth of games for telling on yourself. North Carolina just said, no, we didn't know. Everybody was doing it. And the NCAA said, oh, okay, you didn't know? Okay, well, no worries. This is what you do. This is how it works, because people get rewarded for lying and not accepting responsibility.
Engler, in his letter, put, talking about Izzo and D'Antonio, of course, the men's basketball and football coach, that has been a burden that must be lifted. I hope that MSU can soon respond in full and affirm the integrity of the university and of the two respected coaches. There's obviously still a huge communication gap, because Izzo's asked after his basketball game last night if he agreed with the letter. And he admits that he hadn't read it yet. God. The part I saw, I agreed with what he said. We'll see where it goes from there when I get home and I get a chance to read it all and get a chance to talk to him. I've said it before, there will be a time I will talk. Like, how do you not have this all,
I don't know,
you know, communicated out on the front end?
I don't know. They just don't get it. They don't care. They don't think it's a big deal. They don't see why everyone's so upset. They don't see how anyone could possibly think they're doing something wrong.
And who are the four faculty members that voted that they have confidence in the Michigan State Board of
Trustees. Well, it's actually probably good that there's a couple. Because now they can't walk around and just fire the whole staff and say, yo, you don't support the board, you're out of here. Now you got to think about, you know, which four could it possibly be?
Maybe that's it. That's a good point by you, Hughes.
Maybe it was strategic by the faculty. Yeah. We got to make it one-sided, but not too one-sided so that we all lose our jobs.
Final segment of the program coming back on the flip side here live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Stick with us right here for more Fan Run Radio.
Close your eyes, make a wish.
Happy Valentine's Day.
This one goes out to him.
I love Tennessee basketball's hustle. I love the way they play for each other, the way they celebrate each other. I love that they take hard coaching from Rick Barnes. I love that they all come back next year, save one. I love that they're going to win 20 games, maybe more. How many is that?
How many have you done total?
Yeah, how many is that? Like seven?
Like eight. I'm going with eight.
Okay. I love their warm-ups. The
stripe pajamas?
The stripe, yeah, they're good. Nine. I love that they haven't peaked yet. Boom!
Oh, he's back on board.
I'm back, baby. Vol's going to make a run. Going to make a big run in the postseason. I just feel it. Going to win one of the SEC tournament championship or the NCAA championship. They will win one. I don't know which one, but they will.
They're two games back of the Auburn Tigers who play at home tonight.
Come on, Wildcats.
9 o'clock.
Come on.
It's Kentucky at Auburn. Kentucky's 6-6.
Come on, Cal. Figure it out. Just figure it out, please. Figure it out for us tonight, please. Get Knox the ball in the passing lanes. Defense. Offense. Right? Stop Auburn from scoring and score a bunch of points tonight, Kentucky. Come on.
Auburn's an
help a brother out.
And a half-point favorite tonight. Kentucky at Auburn. 8.5-point favorite at home.
Love a Cal team backed up against the corner. Love a Cal team with something to fight for. He hasn't lost this team yet. No. They're going to come out swinging tonight on the Plains. Feel really good about the Cats tonight. Plus 8.5. Maybe even winning outright. Can they win? Do you think Kentucky's going to win tonight? Are they a matchup problem for Auburn?
I hope so. They should be.
They should be. I'm asking your opinion, sadness. You always do that when you don't know what to say.
Are they going to win or not?
No. Auburn win.
Dang.
If it was that Rupp, I think I'd pick the other way.
Home and away, the swinger, huh?
Yeah, I don't.
Davey, what do you think?
I don't think Kentucky knows what they're doing.
Davey was really close yesterday on the pick. He said Vols by 4. They won by 3. I said 8, and Nate said 12.
Wait, are they in Rupp?
No.
Okay, at all.
We've literally just been talking about this.
I know we have. I just...
What were you? Were you tweeting over there? You weren't paying much attention, were you?
Kentucky by 2.
Bang. No way that's
Bang.
Right.
Bow.
He's not going to go 2 for 2.
Bang.
What do you have? What do you say, Houston?
I think this is the one. This is the one. Kentucky by... 7.
All right.
Kentucky by 7.
Wildcats by 7. That'll be good for Tennessee.
Kentucky by 7. Boom.
Once again on SEC Network, you have Mississippi State playing at Vanderbilt in the Central Time Zone, which starts at 6 Central,
sure.
7 Eastern on SEC Network.
Uh-huh.
Because obviously you want Georgia and Florida to play at 9.
Yes. Makes the most sense. Very smart scheduling.
Goodness gracious.
I really don't understand it. Like, why would you not just make it easy for all of your viewers to watch these games?
I think 9 o'clock just rates better based on, and so they try and put the best game at 9, even if it's two East teams.
Just so if people watch it as they're going to sleep or something, just put the game on type stuff.
9 to 10 is probably the most watched hour, would be my guess.
Yeah,
I bet 9 to 10 rates a lot better than 7.
The people who watch the end of the first game are going to hang around and watch the next set of games.
The fans of the two teams are definitely watching 9 to 10.
I don't love it, but okay. Congrats are in order, guys, for Sean White, who threw down just some impressive half-pipe runs last night to take home the gold. I'll be honest, though. Last night was the first I had seen about his sexual assault case that he apparently settled with the drummer of his band, female.
Yeah.
I hadn't even seen anything about that. So that's a swirling controversy around the Sean White gold medal in Pyeongchang yesterday. I wish I had read more about it to kind of understand it, but last night was the first I'd heard of it.
He had to go big on the third run to win, too.
Yeah, he did.
So the U.S. has won every single snowboarding event so far?
Damn right we have.
Yes. Okay. I saw, Red Gerard, the 17-year-old kid who ended up, I can't remember which event he won with the snowboarding, but...
Free slope or something.
Yeah.
Slope style, something slope like style. That.
His family, that morning, it was like 8:30 over here when he was about to go for his run, and they were sending him videos of them shotgunning beers at 8:30 in the morning to try to get him pumped up for his run, which he also forgot his jacket. He couldn't find his jacket, and he had to borrow his roommate's. It's like the most 17-year-old thing
ever. Yeah, these snowboarders, they're the get-off-the-lawn kids. I mean, you can just tell. They're a mess. There was the little Japanese kid was, on his phone right before his big run when he fell. Should have been more focused, kid.
Yeah, but we had one of our snowboarders tweeted something out between runs and won gold.
Yeah,
so
Chloe Kim.
We can multitask.
She's just,
this country!
Yeah, she's too
we
good.
We know how to multitask. Here's one to really throw you guys into a loop before we leave the show today.
Hit me with your best shot.
There's a big question going around on the interwebs about mac and cheese.
We know where I'm at on this.
Does the mac in mac and cheese stand for macaroni, or does it stand for mac and cheese? M-A-C. Mac and cheese, or macaroni and cheese? People are starting to wonder, why did you shorten it to MAC, and does it stand for macaroni and cheese? So if you say mac and cheese, are you saying macaroni and cheese? Are you saying macaroni and cheese?
This is maybe the dumbest conversation.
It's macaroni and cheese.
Right, exactly. Macaroni and cheese, MAC. Macaroni and cheese.
It's gross, either way.
Macaroni and cheese. So the MAC stands for macaroni and cheese, is that what you're saying?
No, the mac stands for macaroni.
Okay.
And it's just been shortened to mac.
But there's a lot of cheese, so it's macaroni and cheese and cheese.
I don't know. No.
Think about it.
No.
Stupid.
just so we know who we're pulling for tonight. Mississippi
State. I like
State,
a lot of cheese in my macaroni.
Mississippi
macaroni
State
and cheese and cheese.
At Vanderbilt. I don't think that one matters too much. It definitely shouldn't. I guess if you want every team to fall as far as possible, you want Vandy to beat Mississippi State. Obviously, you kind of got to pull for Kentucky tonight if you want
kinda?
Wildcats by two.
Kinda?
Well, normally, you don't pull it.
No,
you
have
pull
to
for your rival.
You have to tonight. Not kinda. You have to.
And obviously,
period.
You want the Georgia Bulldogs to beat the Florida Gators, and that would really, really help out Tennessee, as they're both Florida and Tennessee 8-4. That's our
option. Who does Florida play tonight? Georgia, is that what you said?
Yeah, Georgia at Florida.
Come on, dogs.
Let's get
No, wait, no, no, no. Hate George.